2 Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Campbell, and it's my absolute pleasure to interview each of our members so you can get to know them just that little bit better. Now, most of us at some stage in our lives end up trying to find a dentist. And we sort of kind of used to hit the yellow pages or you hit Google and you just really just find whoever happens to be closest, or as often as the case, who happens to be open when you need them. You don't form this relationship with your dentist, and really we probably should. So today we're joined by Paul Gogolis. He has a group called West Coast Dental, and they're just a little bit different. I mean, I thought dentists were dentists right up until about 30 seconds ago when I was discussing things with Paul. So Paul, welcome.
Thank you, Jackie.
Now, why is a dentist not a dentist?
Well, I think historically dentists have been sort of lone standing people. They go and they hide in this little surgery and they see people, you know, during the day, and that's all they do. Whereas dentistry, technology has moved on. There's so much more that is available in dentistry. So many people want more than just taking care of pain, taking out teeth. I mean, it's a huge sort of like field. And I think with that increase in technology, a lot of knowledge has come by. So sort of the concept that we've grown on is the fact that there is no one person that knows everything about everything. So how can you have one dentist that's going to treat one person doing all the different fields of dentistry to the highest level? You can't.
I suppose it's like walking into a GP, isn't it? I mean, surely the word general means I know a little bit about everything, and I know enough about everything that I can go, oh, hang on a minute, there's a specialist problem here, and here's your referral. Is that the same sort of thing with dentistry? You've got a general dentist who'll do general dentistry sort of kind of stuff?
I think you've got it exactly right, yes. So you have like the dentist, let's say a patient comes in and for a checkup. So the patient doesn't really realize the depth of issues that they may or may not have. It might just be general stuff, cleanup, maintenance, which is fantastic, but there might be underlying gum problems. So will that particular dentist go in and do all that stuff himself? Can he see it, first of all? Mm. Does he be able to diagnose it? Mm. Don't know.
So when you're talking about general maintenance, mm-hmm. what on earth are you talking about? I mean, I get my car serviced. Should I be getting my teeth serviced? Is that what
absolutely.
You mean?
Absolutely. Right. That's exactly why it's called general maintenance.
Okay. So general maintenance, what's that? I smile, we have a bit of a chat about what I did on the weekend. You see my teeth are not too badly coloured from the coffee I've been drinking, and I walk out the door?
Well, you've mentioned something, right? The coffee staining your teeth. Is that a fact or is it a myth?
I have no idea. My mother always told me, and I drink black coffee. Jacqueline, if you drink that much coffee, you're going to end up with black teeth.
Exactly. And I get that all the day.
Right.
Every day. And a lot of it comes from adverts. You know, dental corporations advertising or peddling their things. Are they actually speaking truths?
Well, don't we have to take the stains out of our teeth caused by the donuts in the modern day life?
Well,
that's what we get in 30-second intervals. You're exactly right.
I think that the stains are not due to the coffee themselves. Okay. The stains are actually the coffee staining the stuff on your teeth as opposed to staining your teeth. So would it be better to keep your teeth better maintained so you don't have stuff on your teeth to stain?
Nice. I remember there was an advert, and it was for a dental, I think it was for a toothpaste. They randomly got people in the street and they used to give them something to drink, and it used to stain up all of the plaque and bacteria, whatever it was, bright green, and then they'd give them a look in the mirror with a UV light and you've just cleaned your teeth and this is what's left over. Our product's much better. So that's what you're talking about, is getting all these other googlies off your teeth first.
Yeah, in a nutshell, it's bacteria. Okay. End of story. Bacteria is the word for plaque, or plaque is the word for bacteria, whichever way.
They're the same thing.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so in other words, people go brush their teeth. Generally speaking, they have let's call it a little dance. You do a little dance, each person has its own beat to it. They do their little sort of rhythm. Have they cleaned every single surface of every tooth? Probably not, and probably highly likely that not.
Well, I can't clean every surface of my teeth because they touch. Well, they don't completely touch, but there's certainly bits of them that touch.
Correct, and each tooth has a sort of convex shape, and the brush doesn't necessarily get to everywhere. So there are many areas that are just not cleaned, end of story. And those are the areas that tend to collect the bacteria. And so those bacteria become fossilized, they become mineralized, and that's what tartar is, right? And so that's the maintenance aspect. So it's about inspecting the areas, identifying the potential areas or pitfalls that individual person has, and then sort of structuring a method or a methodology or different tools that might help that particular person in improving their daily maintenance.
Okay. Right. There you go. So that's the first pass. That's that check-in. How often should we do that?
Traditionally, it's every 6 months.
6 months?
Yeah. So twice a year.
Right. Okay.
Right. So again, it's like maintenance. How often do you service your car? You'll see on the service, it's this many Ks or 6 months.
That's what Apple Watch should come up with next. It should be a little chew counter. And you've gone, this is your 10,000 chew warning. And oh, must call Paul. I have a 10,000 chew warning. That's what we need. See, technology.
There you go.
Okay, so we come in and we have a checkup every 6 months because that's apparently the right thing to do.
Yes.
I would hate to tell you how many 6 months it's been since I've... anyway, moving on. So come and have a checkup. What do you see when you're looking at someone's teeth in six-monthly intervals?
Well, what do I see and what other dentists see could be two different things. And it all depends on how much experience one has, how much knowledge one has. So you could look at, let's say the average person looks at teeth. They look at white surfaces that are straight or not straight. The dentist will look at it and say, well, how much plaque is there? How much bacteria is there? Are the teeth rotated correctly? Is the alignment interfering with the bite? How are the gums looking? What color are the gums? Are they a little bit more red in some areas than others, which would indicate more bacteria in those areas or not? So we get different clues as to what is the health of the dentition just by certain signs, I guess.
Okay. So once you've got that information,
yes,
what do you do with it?
We then have to try and structure, first of all, a current sort of point that this person is at. Are they at a good point or not? Are they winning in the game plan of life? Yes, are they winning?
Am I still going to have teeth by the time I'm 50? Yeah.
Right. So in other words, is their game plan on a daily basis allowing them to win in that sort of life cycle of keeping your teeth or not? So if you are not winning, then does one continue with the same game plan or does one have to change it up? And that is really the essence of the appointment in a nutshell.
Okay. So if I've got something a bit weird and wonderful going on with my teeth,
right?
Because of course West Coast Dental have got specialists as well as generalists, does that mean that I can stay effectively within the same practice and go and see somebody else who might be an expert in or has got a specialisation in taking teeth out? Someone else might be really excellent at gum treatments and soft tissue problems or trauma within the mouth. Does that all sit within your umbrella?
Yes, so we have a sort of a specialist in gums, so we call them periodontists. And it's not just a guy who's like, you know, has a talent for it.
Who happens to like pink, yeah.
But they've actually gone to university and studied full time for an extra 3 or 4 years and gotten an extra diploma.
3 years just to look at gums?
Absolutely.
So wow, okay.
This is highly specialized stuff. It's not just like someone who wakes up one day and says, oh, I feel like, you know, I'm interested in gums, let's go do that more. No, it's not like that.
Okay, so teeth extraction obviously is a different kettle of fish than removing plaque.
Yes, so in other words, when we're talking about removing teeth, obviously we don't like removing teeth, but in some certain situations, the tooth might just not have a future. It's just broken down so bad that it's just more of a liability than an asset. Okay, so then we have to remove it. So then how do we remove it? The old-fashioned grip it and rip it? In which case you just yank and push it left, right, until you open up enough space for the root to come out.
And then it gives an automatic crack. I remember that from my childhood. The needles and then the wiggle, wiggle, and the it was one of the loudest noises I think I've ever heard in my head was that crack as my wisdom tooth came out.
So A, that's traumatic for the person. And then B, it's also traumatic for the tissues from which you've taken the tooth. You know, you've got all this sort of trauma happening there. So there are different ways to take out a tooth. And why this has actually developed is because very often these days people don't want gaps and they want the tooth replaced. And especially if you want to talk about implants, which is really an artificial tooth root that's put back in the jawbone, you don't want it to go placed in a place which has been destroyed by the technique of removing the tooth. So we want to steal the tooth out of that jawbone, right, so that we can place a good implant at the back.
I see what you mean there, because you just assume your experiences from your dentist in your childhood. Now, I had the dentist, I broke all the fronts of my teeth when I used to competitively springboard dive and I hit the bottom of the pool.
That makes two of us.
Yeah. So I took all the front out here. And in New Zealand, we have the Accident Compensation Commission, who, of course, pays a lot of the costs and does that. And the dentist I had was the most incredible man. And I remember to this day, his name was Dr. Sandy Emery. And he had the most incredible blue eyes. Because, of course, that's all I really saw of him. And I spent a lot of time with him rebuilding everything. And I just remember at age 9 and 10, just spending what seemed like eternity staring into this doctor's eyes. And he was very genuine. And he goes, well, while we're here, we'll take out these teeth. And he was very proactive. I took out extra teeth to create space, which then saved time. You know, later I didn't need braces and all the other things which go with that. So when you're talking about that larger game plan, that's essentially what you're talking about, isn't it? Is the, what's the future program we need with this particular mouthful of teeth?
Correct. And I think that this is where sort of a setup like ours, we have all the specialists under one roof, is so advantageous and so beneficial for the patient. Because imagine if we, let's say that you have a great dentist, great general dentist who realizes that there are sort of other things that have to be done. So what happens then? So he'll write you a referral, you'll go off to this other specialist who will sit you down and say, right, so what can I do for you? And then you might have to go see somebody else and they will say exactly the same thing. So what do I have to do for you?
And all of a sudden you need to be the expert in your teeth.
Correct. So you're having to say and pay consultation fees to all of these three other different people and convey the same story. And then it tends to become a little hard for all of those three different people or four different people to come together to actually create a treatment plan or at least present some options to you. Whereas if it's done under the same roof, it can be done right then. And you have all the information, you pay one consultation fee, and you know the story. So there's a big advantage in that.
So what is the attraction of teeth? Do you suddenly wake up one day and go, I'm going to be a dentist. I know, I've got this great plan. I can save the world one tooth at a time.
That should be a motto, shouldn't it?
Saving the world one tooth at a time.
So I guess it happened to me when I said there's makes two of us. When I was about 7, in one of the more dramatic deaths suffered by dying from a cowboy bullet or something like that, I fell on a step and broke all four front teeth out.
Right.
And luckily they were baby teeth, but I didn't have teeth until I was 12 in the front.
Right. Which makes it very difficult to chew or to bite.
To bite. So I guess that set up a chain of events where I needed quite a bit of treatment to sort of allow those adult teeth to come through, and then some alignment issues, and I guess that's where the fascination started.
So did you have good experiences with your dentist?
I had excellent experiences.
So there you go. So you effectively found great role models as opposed to going, oh, hell's bells, there's got to be a better way to do this.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. I just had good experiences, and it's funnily enough, obviously, I grew up in Zimbabwe, and his dentist, his name was Dr. Plant, and I believe he now lives in Bunbury.
Oh,
that's
wow.
A small world. Obviously, he's retired now, but he had a very, very big influence, I guess.
Have you had a chance to touch base with him and say?
No, I haven't actually. I've been looking for an excuse, but I haven't actually known.
You know what? I think you should just reach out. Just say, look, I just wanted to let you know. Look, see my beautiful teeth. You might not recognize me, but these are my teeth, and this is because of you. Because wouldn't that be interesting to have that conversation, though, is if someone came back to you later in life and said, well, you know what, actually, because you did blah, blah, blah.
And I plan to do that. I plan to do that. I've actually found a person who knows where he is. So that sort of thing is in the back of my mind, and I'm planning to do that. And what's interesting is you have like a little, what would they call it, a placement at university towards the end, and you go and sit in with a dentist for a period of time, sort of during the holidays, and you watch them. Now, that particular dentist's assistant was that Dr. Plant's assistant back in the day. So I actually caught up with her, and I recognized her, and obviously as soon as she saw me, she recognized me. So it was very interesting.
Because we think we live in this giant world, but we really, really don't.
That's right, and it goes a little bit further, because then I went to the UK, spent some time there, and the hygienist that I was working with knew Dr. Plant from back in uni days. So there's been this little sort of
the world's telling you need to touch base with this gentleman before he falls off the planet.
That's right.
Absolutely. Isn't that cool? Just it's a great stories, and that's the thing, is it's about stories and those the way that we influence people. And I think sometimes we forget how significant people like dentists or doctors can be in people's lives. I mean, you go, I'm a dentist, I walk in and I play with your teeth, but it affects people's self-confidence, their ability to make decisions, their ability to maybe be the best person that they can be. Do you find that you see changes in some of your patients with your care that then walk out going, actually, you know what, now I can take on a particular challenge or I'm more confident in this space?
Well, I'm going to answer that question using two examples. A business person who has come in and said, look, you know, I'm in front of patients and I'm trying to sort of do business deals with, and I feel very conscious about my smile and I just want to look better and feel more things. So those type of people, we help a lot. Mm-hmm. Then there's the other group of people, and one of which was a very, very sort of meek and mild young lady, always dressed in drab sort of grays and blacks. And she used to come in with her boyfriend, almost joined at the hip, holding hands. She wouldn't say boo to a mouse. And she needed a whole bunch of treatment. She was very conscious about her mouth. And halfway through the treatment, so we're talking a little bit of braces, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And sort of 6, 7, 8 months later, I noticed that her boyfriend was, well, first of all, her dress started changing. She started wearing more colorful stuff. Mm-hmm. And then after a few more months, I noticed the boyfriend's not there anymore. So I asked, where's the boyfriend? And she replied, I can do better than that now.
Nice. And this is things it's not even a power, the influence that you can have, the support that you can give someone, but you don't realize just sometimes how something which the rest of us would go, oh, it's fine, it's just a few teeth, what's your problem? The impact it can truly have on people. And by making those changes, and even if it doesn't look dramatically different to the outside world, the changes that it makes to someone inside can be really quite dramatic.
It is absolutely huge. Absolutely huge. I mean, self-confidence, I've said it once before, it's very easily eroded, but it's very, very difficult to build up someone's self-confidence. Mm. And if there's something that is always on that somebody's mind, and especially if it's the front line, in other words, your smile, which is meant to be an asset,
yes,
it gets you places, or not, in people's minds, then if we can help them achieve whatever they're looking for to make them more presentable and therefore get more self-confidence, I mean, that's a huge win.
Mm. So when is the right time to see a dentist?
You mean as a child?
Or just in general? Obviously you've got your 6 monthly checkups.
Yes.
Is it, oh, my tooth's a bit sore today, I better go and get that checked? Is there a trigger point that's like, hang on a minute? I mean, obviously the best thing would not be if by the time you have an abscess and your half your jaw is hanging off. If you're not into this regular 6 monthly maintenance, should you just get over the fear and just walk in the door?
Well, I think, of course, that makes most sense. I mean, the whole point of that is not to get to that point, you know, to be preventative. This is one of the big issues of dentistry, or the big sort of factors that have improved over the years, is that if you are preventative and you do all the necessary maintenance, with any luck, you will then avoid that sort of panic situation and you won't have to make that decision.
Is there a way of actually dealing with problems which perhaps have left been unattended for a little bit longer than they should have been, without all that fear and pain and needles? And because that is often, you talk to people, one of the things which stops them going to a dentist is they know that they've got a tooth, and they know that the next thing, they know in their heart that the next thing is going to be this giant needle, which is going to be extremely painful, and the world is going to be ruined for at least a month, if not 6 months. Is that still the case? I mean, I know you touched on technology a little bit, but is that still the reality of walking into a dentist's office?
I think far from it. I think that picture that you have painted is very often a picture that people have in their minds, and that picture had been painted by an older sibling or basically a past experience. Either way, I don't believe it's relevant anymore. But what is interesting though, and I see a lot of kids, their mums, without actually even realizing it, are instilling fear into the kid. They're meaning well at the particular time, but they're instilling fear. So let's give you an example. Kid comes in, and all I want to do really, as far as the kid is concerned, is count their teeth. In other words, we'll be looking. Whilst I'm counting, I'm looking at their teeth, I'm looking at all the gums and this and that, and the kid thinks I'm counting their teeth. As far as the mum is concerned, they're saying, don't worry, little Johnny, it's not going to be painful. No.
But it hadn't actually occurred to the child it was going to be painful to start with.
Correct.
Right.
So in other words, you are mirroring your fear and you're portraying it onto the kid without even realizing it. So that's a very interesting psychological factor. So obviously dentistry comes along with also some education for the parents to help us.
Right. So what you're saying here to any parents listening who yet to take their child to the dentist for the first time is just shush. Don't build it up to be anything. Just say, oh, we're going to go to the dentist today. What's a dentist? Oh, you'll see when you get there. It's very exciting.
Correct.
And just leave it the hig alone.
Yes, and he's going to count your teeth to see that we have all our teeth or whatever.
That's but what if I've got teeth missing, Mum?
That's all right. We just want to count them.
Well, but how many teeth am I supposed to have?
I don't know. Let's find out.
No. So, okay. So, if I'm approached like that,
far better.
Doesn't start with that terror.
Far, far better, yes. Okay. Yes. Or I find some mums, they sort of hover over and they're holding the kids' feet and sort of massaging their leg and sort of like they are hovering like that, which then the kid says, well, this isn't normal behavior.
This
looks at what is about to happen. And so do you see how the mum has actually interfered with the experience? It's interesting, very interesting.
But it would be interesting to have a conversation with the mum about what has obviously influenced her concern.
Correct.
And but there you go. You need to add another member of staff. You need a psychologist and counsellor.
That's correct.
So you can become, you know, West Coast Dental and Counselling.
That's correct.
Cool. So if people want to obviously have a different experience where they can come to one person, have a sensible conversation, by the sounds of it, with a person whose approach to dentistry is very calm and has the technology but is able to provide specialist services as well as general services, how do they best get hold of you, Paul?
Well, the best way to get hold of me or to come in and sort of experience the West Coast Dental Care. I mean, we have our slogan, experience the difference. It is going to be different. I'm almost certain of that, to your average dental experience. You can get hold of us by the telephone number or directly on the website, and we can actually make an appointment, or you can make an appointment directly on the website.
Okay, so you've got a, like a booking engine sort of thing looked into your website?
Correct.
Okay, www.westcoastdentalcare.com.
.au.
Well, that's, we can even remember that. Fantastic. So they can jump in there, and there's a space to say, I need a general appointment, it's a checkup, to give you a bit of information there, or is the appointment times the same length irrelevant of why?
Yeah, the first appointment, if it's the first time you're attending, is just a general normal appointment. It's going to be approximately 45 minutes long. You'll probably be seeing me, and the appointment is very, very easy to make on the internet.
Okay, so we'll go in, you'll count my teeth.
I will
and you make a plan.
And then we'll just discuss what we see. And then from there, it's up to you which way you want to take you. I can only give you information, and what you make with that information is totally up to you. You can decide to do X or Y. We'll give you the costs of X or Y, and you decide. You're the captain of your ship.
Well, there you go. Fantastic. Thank you so much. That has changed my view. That whole approach is interesting because I literally have not walked into a dentist's office since I think I got my wisdom tooth taken out in year 12, which was quite some time ago. So inspired to re-engage with my dental plan.
Well, thank you very much. And now you know where to come.
Absolutely. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on District 32 Radio. If you'd like to know more, please head across to our website, district32.com.au.